Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 395, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hello.
Water and
soup.
Yeah, creamy mushroom with wild rice soup. When they say wild, I know, when they say wild rice, it was a recipe, obviously. I didn't go, I'll just, whatever's in my cupboard.
Go to the garden and forage.
That's right. But when they say wild rice, do you remember that's a black rice?
Yes.
That was popular around the early 2000s. You know, when your first sort of Nigella series would be on TV.
Yes.
And you'd have to plate up, and by plate up, it would be stack the food on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe the wild rice.
On a bed of rocket and avocado.
Yes, yeah. Rocket. Mm-hmm. Bang up the rocket back then.
I don't like rocket.
No, it's too peppery.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find, just in Woolies, wild rice that wasn't already pre-cooked.
Oh.
Mm, which wasn't
so
a big deal.
So out of fashion.
Must be. It wasn't a big deal, I mean, because it made it the soup cooking
way faster.
You've got
to wait
for
the next,
but
like, fad diet.
Yeah.
Or TV chef to bring it back. One of those two will cause demand.
And you've made me just think just then. Just think just then. The Just Jeans is a great shop.
Did you just do that?
That maybe it was in like the macro, you know, like the health food section. It was probably there. I didn't even think about that.
And it'd be $17.
Because that health food section, at least in the Woolies that we're at, is opposite, like one side of the aisle is health food. The other side is makeup.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I just don't think about it.
It is a very strange part of
It's a strange location.
Yeah. And then when you actually kind of need any toiletry type stuff, you can't find it. Because there's also like a wall of protein powder.
Yes.
Right next to the Panadol.
The Panadol and the Band-Aids.
Which is really quite small compared to the protein.
Well, you know, the lads have to have the big bowl. No, the big jar. The big
jar?
The big tub.
It's a tub.
It's a tub.
Massive. Ugh, so massive. They can walk it. Probably has its own little handle.
Yes. Like the massive washing machine
powder
that I got.
Oh my God, I love that.
The massive
washing
one?
Yeah, that's what I do.
I thought you got the one in the box, like the cardboard box, but you get the plastic
one.
No,
I get
now.
The plastic one.
This is my first plastic box.
Oh, it's really good. Lasts forever. So I had to switch to the liquid.
Right.
Detergent. Because it was on sale. That makes sense.
Okay.
I had to.
Forced.
Twist my arm. Anyway, I've been using it. I'm thinking, geez, it is actually, we're going through this quite quickly. Maybe I'm doing more washing than normal. I thought that can't be possible because surely I'm just washing the same amount of stuff. But this bottle is emptying quite quickly. And then I just happened to turn it over and look at the instructions. I think I've been putting double the amount of detergent in. So
clean.
Well done, me, for buying something on sale and using twice as much.
Defeating the purpose.
Da, 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 da.
What was my story? Oh, wild rice. Oh, yeah, we're eating soup.
Jeez, we went on a tangent.
Wow, that was really impressive.
Does that give everybody a little insight of the conversations we have normally?
Hmm. It's a normal conversation.
Normal conversations, we often go, how do we get here?
Don't know. But I'm glad we made it. Oh, I thought of a segue before. Can we kind of
rewind?
Blokes with the protein.
Blokes with the protein powder and the little handles.
Speaking of blokes with the protein and the little handles, the quiz today is about Jane Austen. It's turned inside out.
In my brain, there's now like, you know, Jane Austen-y ladies in their beautiful attire with a big bulky guy in a singlet and Tat standing at their front door going, hello, madam.
Hi, I'm Mr. Darcy.
No. I'm thinking like the help.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Like the guy who's the driver and he's out the front of the manor washing the car.
There's no need for gentlemen to have muscles. Get the help to have them.
The help have to.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what's going on, and some watching and going to see, which will of course make Gary jealous.
Oh, going to see. Mm. I was thinking like, S-E-A, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
We did the poop cruise before. You're doing it again.
Doing it again. Come on. Don't be ridiculous. But now it's getting into what? Now
it's just.
Now it's just getting into the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Sense and Sensibility is a Jane Austen novel, and they're going to make a new film.
Film
about Sense and Sensibility, because it's important to have more than
one sense.
Yeah. You got to have a few sensibilities. Like 1995, that one came out with
Emma Thompson.
Kate Winslet was in it, remember?
No, I don't.
She's the young one, isn't she? She must have been the young one. That's before Titanic. She's the younger sister.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're going to remake it. And it just made me think, how many of these things do we need? And apparently we need lots of them.
I know. Like, I think that why do we need so many redos when there are so many amazing stories out there?
That Sense and Sensibility from 1995 was a good one. If you watch that one now or watch this 2025 one, would you go, I'm really glad they remade that. That was worthwhile. Or would you just go, same story?
Same story. Do I want to go and see it? Not really.
I've
already seen it. I probably studied it at school as
Actually, I think I did. And maybe university as well, because it's important to study the same
redo
things twice.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, just like the movies.
Now I see what makes sense.
Tertiary education.
Yeah.
First one was for high school students, but if you're going for a degree in literature, English, whatever, this is the one for you.
So that they can compare and contrast.
Bryan Cranston, he's standing up for what he believes in. He, of course, was the father in Malcolm in the Middle. He was the bloke in Breaking Bad. And now he's in a movie called Lone Wolf, and it's an independent film, right? And this independent film doesn't have enough money that they promised to pay the cast and crew, so he's walked off halfway through.
Ooh.
He's been paid.
But they haven't.
And he says, I'm not returning to finish any of this or promote this film until everybody has been paid the money that they are owed.
There's been a bit of this standing up for others' rights happening in the entertainment industry lately, hasn't there?
Is there a lack of ego now? I don't know. Is there a lack of ego? Are these actors who have been working for a long time as like character actors?
I really like that point of view. I do.
And they're not divas. They're not like your main leading action star. They're people who are hardworking actors who see other people working hard who are like, nah.
Yeah.
If I don't do something, these guys will, I'll walk off paid. They won't. I'll feel shitty.
And I'll use my power for good because this is how you make change.
This is how you make change. Person of power making change for the good. So we salute you. You can't though because you're eating soup right now.
I'm a bit busy.
Yeah, that'd be, but you'll do it later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salute.
Was that you doing it then
just
or
then.
Just saying the word?
Well, I want to take a mouthful, so I'll do it now.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, yeah. And the last news story for the day is one that I thought was, I don't know, I kind of see the name Jeffrey Dean Morgan and I go, okay, what's he going to be in? Of course, he has been in The Walking Dead for ages. He's in one of the spin-offs where they go to New York. And I thought, okay, let's find out what he's up to now. And if you have Prime Video, so Amazon's streaming service.
Amazon!
They've got a new YA, young adult series coming to that place where you watch stuff called Sterling Point, and he has been cast in it. I'll give you a little idea of what this is and whether you think you might want to watch it. Ensemble drama, bit of comedy, bit of heart. It's about sisterhood, nature versus nurture. I'm reading from Deadline now. Complicated family dynamics and grief. It is believed. I'm reading from deadline, so this is why that makes no sense. It is believed to follow Annie, who, alongside her twin brother, Connor, was raised in New York by their single dad. That's who I reckon he's going to be. Before they find out that their estranged grandfather left them an island on a lake in his will. So off they go to this small island, I'm imagining, surrounded by like a small village, a small town.
Okay.
And I'm thinking if it's set in New York, it's up north.
Yeah.
Like further than the Hamptons, like Connecticut or that, maybe even Maine, that kind of place. Yep. And it'll just be like YA, like teenagers having
coming of age stories.
I would probably watch that let me paint a picture for you. About 3 p.m. in the middle of January, so in the middle of summer, it's hot. You've got the air conditioning on. You've got the day off. You don't have to do anything. Put that on.
Fun. Yep.
You do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I was also thinking if that was a book, you would read that.
Yeah, I probably would.
Good storyline.
I just read the best book.
Yeah?
And the whole way through I could have imagined it being a movie.
Like this?
No, nothing like this. You just segued it from your story to mine because I really wanted
Protein Powder, Jane Austen.
Yeah. It's called the book was called Dial A for Aunties. It was so fun and it was really quick and witty and enjoyable, and the twists happened at the end of every single chapter. There was one of those like, oh no, and then straight away it just went, it didn't solve it, but it just connected it straight away at the beginning of the next chapter. And I thought, that is the perfect movie. Like, do you remember the original Death at a Funeral?
Mm-hmm.
It had that sort of feeling, almost even, I guess, Father of the Bride-ish.
Oh, Father of the Bride. Yeah, okay. Just that kind of vibe.
That vibe of like things move really fast and a little bit out of control, and the person at the center of it is going, ah, how do I put out that fire? Yeah. Oh, another one started
and
over there.
I look like the crazy one.
And I am the crazy one because I kind of started all of this. Anyway, I think it's a slightly older because they were referring to things culturally and that were not of 2025, so a little bit older, but it was a fun book. It said it was a romance. The library had put a little sticker on it saying romance, which, I mean, there was a romantic storyline, but I wouldn't have put
would
it
you as, say more comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I really enjoyed it. I should have kept it for you, but I returned it.
It's a library book.
You can get it.
Yeah.
But you watch, it'll be like, now that I've recommended it.
That one particular library.
That one library with the one copy will just be out. There'll be just piles of reserves.
Do you want to get into some watching suggestions?
Yeah. Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's talk about what we went to see first.
Okay, go on.
So we went to the theatre. Well, not really. It was a concert.
We went to A theatre.
We went to the State Theatre in Sydney, and I love going there because, one, it looks really lovely in the lobby and also within the theatre itself, but I love watching people when they go in.
Mm.
They're like, wow, and people like to take photos inside. It's just really nice. Anyway, we went and saw the singer, Lisa Simone, who is the daughter of Nina Simone, the legendary singer. And Steph, you were like, will I know any of these songs? I'm going to promise you will know them.
Mm. I know the name, but I couldn't have sung any for you.
We knew a lot, I reckon.
Yeah.
Lisa also sang some of her own songs, and I love the music of it.
Yeah.
But I thought the lyrics weren't as good as her mother's songs, which I don't even know how many her mother actually wrote. You know what I mean?
Mm.
There were some that you could tell she definitely did write, just judging by the stories that Lisa was telling.
Yes.
But if you're a big Nina Simone fan, and obviously there's no way you can go and watch her. You know what I mean? There's no way. Who better to go and see perform it than her daughter? And there was a great bit in it towards the end where I think what had happened, she'd gone down into the audience to sing, I think it was that, "And I'm Feeling Good."
Yeah. She should have milked for longer.
Yeah, it should have been
she
a longer
She could have done
version.
Another 3 minutes
of
that.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone was into it.
Yeah.
And she walked back up on stage and a woman came up to the front of the stage to shake her hand, and we couldn't hear her, but just judging by what Lisa said, the woman said, "I now I'm seeing you, but I've seen your mother perform live."
Mm.
So she's gotten to see both of them live, which must have been really amazing. But I love going to those kind of things, particularly music. When you go and see a band or a singer and you're like, okay, what crowd am I in?
I love that.
And because I mean, we're not going to talk exactly about what we said because we were being a bit stupid, but but our initial reaction was art teachers.
Art teachers.
There are a lot of art teachers.
There are a lot of art. And look.
People who look like art teachers.
We moved. Also went with an art teacher, so we can say it.
We know. Our mother is an art teacher. Yeah. So we know.
And they all look like she's one of the less eclectic art teachers around.
I reckon too.
Yeah. I mean, she holds the badge with pride.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's not she's
Her
not
clothing
up there.
Is more subdued.
Yes.
Understated.
Mm. And the hair and the glasses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't had pink hair yet.
But in saying that, trying to figure out, oh, which crowd you're in, I've done it when we've gone to see, like, podcasts do their live shows, interviews, also authors talking, when comedians or well-known actors come for a talking tour and you go, oh, I'm part of this crowd.
Oh, this is our Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French crowd. Okay, I see it.
I've also been to ones where I go, oh, I really don't belong. I thought I was part, like,
I was a really good fan
of this person, but I really don't belong.
This is not my crowd. Yeah, you start to second guess yourself. You're like, do I think of myself in a different way?
Yeah, because also there are the ones where you go, oh, I didn't think I was old, but I am because I'm here. That's with my gang.
Can I ask you, is that when we last, this is probably about 10 years ago, is this when we last went to see Garbage and we were like, oh, crowd's gotten older?
Oh, we all grew up. No, the last one was, I think it might have been Joanna Lumley, and I went,
oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, I didn't realise I was of this demographic, but here I am.
Here we all are.
Look at me pretending that I'm in my 20s, but I'm really not, and nor do I want to be.
Everybody here, they're pleased they're here, but geez, the hassle getting here was annoying. Can't wait to go home.
Could she start a bit earlier? We've got a 9 o'clock bedtime.
She probably does too. She's
These touring types, they live with the moon.
Oh. Good moons this week, by the way. See if you,
so
I mean,
good.
It's just the one, I think. We're not in Tatooine or anything, but.
Yeah.
But are we? No, we're not. No, we're not.
No.
Sorry. No. I second guess myself.
But each night's a little bit different.
It's a bit different.
Just a little bit.
It's a little bit different. Okay, what have you watched on a streaming service? What have you watched?
Just on the one, dear.
On the one, dear.
I have watched a show on, now let me just double check what it was on Stan. You know I'm a fan of Stan. Mm. It's a show called Hal and Harper, and it's 2025. You saw that one?
I haven't watched it, but I mean, it piqued my interest.
Yes, I really do think you would like this one. And as you were saying earlier, I had a day off, and I thought I'm going to watch it, give it a go. And I found myself watching it almost the whole day. I had to. There's a few episodes that I finished the next day, and I will admit, it did take me until about the end of the second episode that I went, I want to watch the next one.
So there was no end of episode one hook for you?
No, I mean there was, but I just wasn't certain that I was hooked. And I thought, I'll give another episode, just see how I go. And by the end of the second one, I went, I really want to watch the next. I want to watch the next episode. Anyway, it stars Cooper Rafe, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Lily Reinhart. It's also got Betty Gilpin, who you'd know from.
Yeah, she was in Glow.
For some reason,
we've got Glow action figures.
Yes.
Of Debbie and Ruth.
And Mark Ruffalo is also in this.
Mm,
yeah, really
he's always good.
Interesting mix of casting, but it worked really well. So it is about. It's about two siblings who are very, very codependent on each other, where they have this sort of mix of they do want to be codependent and they enjoy each other's time. Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
I can't relate.
Nor can I. No. And just sort of achingly desperate to make their own mark in the world and sort of do things their own way and not have somebody sort of tag along with them. Ooh. So Cooper Rafe is actually the director.
Nice.
So while he stars in it, he is the director. He does a very, very good job as the character as well. And he has done a fantastic thing. He's not even 30 and he was a wannabe filmmaker from Dallas, and he was plucky enough to tweet a link to his college set 50-minute short called Madeline and Cooper to Jay Duplass, who creates a lot of things, and he just had the guts to go and put it out there. So, you know, for an under 30 to create something that's picked up and then made and get stars.
Yeah.
Like Mark Ruffalo.
I love Betty Gilpin as well.
Yes. Anyway, so it's about the two siblings. They have grown up. They're sort of, one is about to finish college and one has got finished and gotten a job and sort of not really enjoying being a grown up. Their dad lives away from them and he's quite sick with cancer. And they think, oh, you know, this is it. Like, we're going to lose him. Mm. And he has some big news for them. And he and his partner are expecting a new little baby. So their world kind of comes crashing down in this way of, well, aren't we still the kids in his life?
Mm.
The best part of this whole production is the memories of the kids when they were kids.
Oh, so they're like flashbacks?
Flashbacks.
Cool.
There is no change of color or anything like that. But what happens is the adult actors play them as kids.
Oh, I like so that. That's different.
Really different. That's so they'll be at school and there'll be Cooper Rafe there with a backpack and like trying to play with the kids, but the kids, he's not really like gelling with the friends.
That's cool.
And it's this really interesting thing, and it takes a couple of scenes for you to go, what's going on?
That's like, cool. That's
what
cool
are they
idea.
Doing here? And it's really interesting to see them deal with things as an adult, but also trying to, I guess, digest and work through what they dealt with as children and how that made them be the people that they are and why they're so codependent and what might happen to their world when they have to introduce a new younger sibling into this really, really deep connection of siblings. It's a good, good series. There's only maybe 6 or 8 episodes.
It's easy to get through.
Really easy to get through.
Watch it in a week.
It has, I think we were talking last week about music throughout.
Yeah.
This one has music all the way through it. And I would say it is not the show that you can be doing other things or on your phone or anything.
Don't do Wordle.
Nothing, because so much storytelling happens with no dialogue.
Okay.
Dialogue. So much storytelling, and I think that is a huge credit to the director but also to the actors, that the story continues without any dialogue but this beautiful music. And I want to say the music montages, but without that cheesy 80s.
Okay, I get you.
Thing.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched something that is very different. I decided to go to your train wreck.
Oh, yeah?
And I watched a different one. I watched The Cult of American Apparel, which was the clothing store or brand, I should say, from America in the early 2000s, probably the like maybe 2005-ish, I think it started. And the CEO, Dove, I kept going, are they calling him Dove? Is his name Dove? D-O-V, but they were pronouncing it Dove. And they had about maybe 4 or 5 previous employees from American Apparel. And you're like, what's this going to be about? Like, I worked in one of the shops. I worked at the head office. Like, why is this a train wreck? I remembered the name.
Yeah.
And afterwards I was like, I feel like I had some American Apparel stuff. Funnily enough, I still do. It's like I had a couple of them, but I've only got one left, like a baggy sort of really thin jumper, like a sweater. Mm. And I just wear it to hockey training now, but it was American Apparel. I was like, oh. And
so what was a train wreck part of it?
So the train wreck is that he was just really
dodgy.
Oh, so dodge. Oh. Like just he had no boundaries. If he wanted to call you up at 3 a.m, he'd call you up at 3 a.m. and say, you suck, just die, ha ha, just joking, see you in the morning. And they're just like, what
to his
the
employees.
Hell? To his employees. Walking around naked.
Oh my God.
And it was, apparently what happened was the whole brand sort of took off really quickly and managed to grab a hold of that sort of early 20s, not teens, but that early 20s when they were millennials, like coolness,
yeah.
Like the cool factor. So people wanted to work for that brand, mm-hmm. work in those stores at the very beginning, pretty much, it felt like. And all of their models were people who were not models. They might have been someone who came into the shop and bought some stuff a couple of times or worked there or worked in the factory part. And a lot of the photos, the fashion photos for the commercials were a bit risque as well. You're like, mm-hmm. are you serious? I think I can almost see a bits kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So that's how they were getting their name out there, you know, were a bit risque. But what they really were, when they sort of talked about it, you know how it seemed like a bigger, more mass market, cheaper brand than Kukai?
Uh-huh.
Where you had this jumper
mm-hmm.
in 12 different colors.
Yes.
You had this t-shirt in 12 different colors. Mm-hmm. You had these pants, you know, this kind of thing. So you could go in there, mix and match and do all of that.
And your outfit's done.
Your outfit's done. Yeah. And that's pretty much what it was like. And a lot of these people who worked there were like, yeah. And you know, I was a manager in 2 weeks and I was only 19 years old. Mm. And then suddenly I was working in the head office and the factory, because all the clothes were made in America.
Yeah.
And that was kind of another one of their big things. Yeah. Like, we make everything here. We pay our workers a fair share, you know, wages. So everybody worked in this massive factory. So the head office was like in the factory as well. So he would just be wandering around the whole time, you know, look like getting in everyone's faces and really stressing people out. And what really was the undoing of the brand itself, because they actually got rid of him, like there was
– like the board.
Yeah, the board got rid of him like later. Like,
because he was a liability.
Like, exactly, maybe like 2015 or something like that. And that, you know, some people had come forward and said, you know, I think he sexually assaulted me, he was abused, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, the recession hit in, what was that, 2008, 2010, something like that. And instead of reducing, they spread wider. They were like, well, everybody is closing in on themselves. Let's go out and push and try. And it just didn't work for them. That's what it was. He now has another, he's a CEO of something. Is he a CEO of like, oh, what's his name? Kanye West's Yeezy or something. He has something to do with that, or had something to do with that. So he's still around.
Still train wrecky.
Still doing stuff. So yeah, maybe train wreck two.
Yeah.
Part two will be from him. But it was really interesting to see these people who still looked really young talk about, oh, when I was young, and you're like, you serious? You look like you're 25. They're probably like 31 or something now. But for them, it felt like ages ago. But for me, I've still got the same jumper and I wear it to hockey training.
So it was good quality.
True. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Should I stop wearing it to hockey and see if I can get a big price for it on eBay?
I mean, why not?
Vintage American Apparel.
Just keep wearing it while you wait for somebody to bid on it.
That's a good point. It's still cold.
Yes.
Cold enough. Did you watch anything
else? I did. I watched the new Netflix series, the Lena Dunham one called
Too
Much.
You told me about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
she lives in Wales or something now, doesn't she?
She lives in the UK. So
is this set there?
It is.
Okay.
So she's come under a little bit of, I wouldn't say criticism, but this new series was based on a very basic skeleton of her new life of moving over to the UK. And that's almost where the comparisons finish. And she's being very definite on, the character is not me. It's only like based on personal experience, because that's where you get your best stories from, because when it's written by something that you know, you're going to get a richer thing, a bit like how Girls was.
Yeah.
And it does have that Girls sort of feeling.
So.
Yeah, that you
give
go.
You that bit of nostalgia.
It does and it doesn't. And I was thinking about it. I don't know if this is going to have that same sort of cult following that girls did. And I think that was because there were the four girls who were just so
of a time.
Of a time age. And out there. And their storylines were so different. You were invested in all four storylines. This one, of course, it has lots of different characters, but it's based around one main girl. And I just don't know. I think it's a really good one, but I don't know if it's going to have that cult following. What it does have that I think is the Lena Dunham style is these characters that are so, what would you say, are they eccentric?
Yeah, they are. Because I've rewatched a few episodes of Girls recently, and they definitely are. They are all eccentric and worked up in their own particular way.
Yes, and that's exactly what this is.
Awesome.
So I wouldn't say that they're...
Well, are they a different age? Because Girls was set just, shortly after uni.
This one, finished university. To me, the main character screams more of a mid-20s. Okay. I did read somewhere that she was in her 30s and I thought, oh, really?
Okay. She looks quite young.
Looks quite young, acts quite young, that whole new sort of generation of things. But it's these characters that are so entrenched in themselves. They're eccentric, but they're really opinionated and their opinions are heavily formed and very articulate. And that's where I go, oh, that's the Lena Dunham style.
Yeah, definitely.
They say these quips to each other that you go, I couldn't have thought that quickly, even if I had written it prior.
Similar to Gilmore Girls,
Yeah. So anyway, it follows this new character and her name is Jessica and she's just gone through a bad breakup and is a little bit obsessed with her ex and just obsessively follows her ex's new partner on social media and finds out that they're engaged. And she kind of just, she already is a bit of a train wreck, but she sort of unravels from there and decides she's going to change up her life and she's going to move to London. And it's going to be the Downton Abbey, those, the beautiful London English countryside manors. And she's going to move to there. She finds an Airbnb at somewhere called the Grove Manor Estate or something
Sounds
like
great.
That. Sounds beautiful. We all know that an estate in London perhaps doesn't have a tree in sight and is not your fairy tale. She doesn't know that. And she arrives within a couple of hours. She's at a pub trying to talk to people and they're just like, you're too full on for me. And she falls in love with a musician, which she thinks is a very unique storyline. And they're like, oh, you found a musician who plays indie music at a pub on a Friday night. That's like
weird.
Find them everywhere. that's just a normal evening. But the place that she goes to work in has those girls characters, those really crazy characters that you go, how are any of your colleagues? Because none of you get along.
What was her name? Shoshana?
Yes.
I loved her. She was
I
great.
Love her.
Yeah.
There are so many people in this series.
Nice. I like a good cast.
So many. Like Lena Dunham appears in it. Rita Wilson.
Wasn't Rita Wilson the mother of what's her face in Girls? Wasn't she?
I think she was. Like Allison's person. So Will Sharp, who you'd know from The White Lotus, season 2.
Yeah.
He's in it. As I said, Rita Wilson. Prashana Puwanajara. I'm ruining his name. I do apologize. There's Richard E. Grant is in it.
Who was in Girls.
Yeah. Rhea Perlman. Andrew Vanellis, who is in Girls.
Wow, okay.
Like the scenes just happen and you go, oh, you're in it. It is fun.
If you know people, you can get them in.
Well, that's exactly it. I think you would like this one.
I'm sure I would like it. Okay.
And
I'm
sure lots of people would really enjoy it.
Yeah. And if not, we're going to get you. Probably not. Can't be bothered. I really want to do this quiz.
Is it the protein powder one?
Yeah, that's right.
Chocolate, vanilla.
Oh, no, not that sort of. No, not that sort of protein powder. This is about Jane Austen. Who played Emma in the 1996 film adaptation? Emma.
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow? Yes.
Yeah, it was. Well done.
I remember because she's verging on being on my list.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I think she's at the top of some people's list. You know the whole goopy goop?
Or she's on your list because you love her and you love everything Gwyneth.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I feel like the hype that she had for those few years really irked me.
Do you remember she used to go out with
Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
I know.
And then Winona Ryder was going out with his friend whose name I can't.
Matt Damon.
Oh, my God. My brain just stopped then. Yeah. They would, like, go on double dates and stuff. It's bizarre.
Didn't Gwenny date Brad Pitt for years and years?
Yes. I think then it was Ben.
Yeah. Ben Affleck must have something going on.
I don't know what it is.
I don't get it either. I'd get the Matt Damon thing, but I don't get the Ben Affleck.
Seems nice.
I remember reading years and years and years ago that Ben Affleck had really bad breath, and that Brad Pitt was smelly.
I've read that too. Brad Pitt, bad BO. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah. I mean, maybe he doesn't anymore. Who knows?
Maybe
we're never going to meet
him. Took a
shower. Ah, one of those might help. Billie Piper.
Yeah.
She was in a 2007 film because you know how people just have to make them as many Jane Austens as possible. Mm. Which one? Was it Pride and Prejudice or Mansfield Park?
Mansfield Park?
Yes.
Thanks.
Never heard of it.
None.
I mean, I've heard of Mansfield Park. I just haven't heard of that film.
I like Billie Piper,
though. Me too. Honey to the Bee, That's You for Me.
That's You for Me.
Yeah. Who was the main star of Sense and Sensibility? We were talking about it earlier.
Oh, Emma Thompson.
Yeah, Emma Thompson.
Who was the other one? Weren't there two on the poster?
I think it wasn't it. Wasn't it Kate Winslet?
Was it? Can you Google for me?
Okay. Well, why don't you Google and I'll ask you the next question.
Well, I can't do two things at once.
Well, I can't either. Okay, why don't we do one thing together? What are we doing?
I want the Sense and Sensibility
Sense
poster.
And
there it is.
Sensibility 2000. No, I've got the 2008 one.
Yeah,
far out.
It's Kate and Emma.
Okay, there we go.
So my Googling was better than you?
Yes, way better. What series, based on a Jane Austen novel, made Colin Firth famous?
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. Mm.
Who was Elizabeth in that?
I only know her from Pride and Prejudice, and whenever I see her in other things, I'm like, oh,
that's her from
Pride and Prejudice.
Prejudice.
Which series was Julia Sawala in?
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. She played Lydia.
Yes.
Bennett. Therefore, the other one.
Is Elizabeth Bennett.
Yeah.
Lydia and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to call them as a parent.
Oh, can you imagine our cousin?
Yes.
Trying to do that? That would be hilarious. According to Google, what year was the first film version of Pride and Prejudice released?
I don't know.
That's not
1974. 1940,
yes.
1940. I just got it around the wrong way. Yeah.
I know you did. Yeah. 1940.
Hmm. Making movies during the war.
Yeah, what a frivolous way to spend money during the war. You've got the Queen. You've got the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II, being a mechanic. And what are you doing? Mm. I'm making a movie about a Jane Austen film. No one cares about Jane Austen right now. We're trying to beat the Nazis.
Yeah, but it's for morale.
Oh, okay. Do you think the soldiers enjoyed Pride and Prejudice?
Probably not.
Bit of Lydia Bennett storyline?
Maybe that's why they got the boobs pushed up.
Ah.
I'll just say it.
Jane Austen knew what she was doing.
She knew.
I want to thank Jane Austen, but more importantly, Stephanie, I would like to thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Elizabeth Bennett.
Not Queen Elizabeth? I mean, she did the mechanic.
She did the work. So, thank you, Queen Elizabeth II.